All burst into applause. Urging passage home for their newfound friend, his pleading rang so true. And once they'd poured libations out and drunk to their heart's content, each one made his way to rest in his own house. But King Odysseus still remained at hall, seated beside the royal Alcinous and Arete, as servants cleared the cups and plates away. The white-armed Queen Arete took the lead. She'd spotted the cape and shirt Odysseus wore, fine clothes she'd made herself with all her women, so now her words flew brusquely, sharply. "Stranger, I'll be the first to question you myself. Who are you? Where are you from? Who gave you the clothes you're wearing now? Didn't you say you'd reached us roving on the sea?" "What hard labour, Queen," the man of craft replied, "to tell you the story of my troubles start to finish. The gods on high have given me my share. Still, this much I will tell you, seeing you probe and press me so intently. There is an island, Ogygia, lying far at sea, where the daughter of Atlas Calypso has her home, the seductive nymph with lovely braids, a danger too, and no one, god or mortal, dares approach her there, but I, cursed as I am, some power brought me to her hearth, alone, when Zeus with a white-hot bolt had crushed my racing warship down the wine-dark sea. There all the rest of my loyal shipmates died, but I, locking my arms around my good ship's keel, drifted along 9 days. On the 10th, at dead of night, the gods cast me up on Ogygia, Calypso's island, home of the dangerous nymph with glossy braids, and the goddess took me in all her kindness, welcomed me warmly, cherished me, even vowed to make me immortal, ageless, all my days. But she never won the heart inside me, never. 7 endless years I remained there, always drenching with my tears the immortal clothes Calypso gave me. Then, at last, when the 8th came wheeling round, she insisted that I sail, inspired by warnings sent from Zeus, perhaps, or her own mind had changed. She saw me on my way in a solid craft, tight and trim, and gave me full provisions, food and mellow wine, immortal clothes to wear, and summoned a wind to bear me onward, fair and warm. And 17 days I sailed, making headway well. On the 18th, shadowy mountains slowly loomed, your land. My heart leapt up, unlucky as I am, doomed to be comrade still to many hardships. Many pains the god of earthquakes piled upon me, loosing the winds against me, blocking passage through, heaving up a terrific sea beyond belief. Nor did the whitecaps let me cling to my craft for all my desperate groaning. No, the squall shattered her stem to stern, but I swam hard, I ploughed my way through those dark gulfs, till at last the wind and current bore me to your shores. But here, had I tried to land, the breakers would have hurled me, smashed me against the jagged cliffs of that grim coast. So I pulled away, swam back till I reached a river, the perfect spot at last, or so it struck me, free of rocks, with a windbreak from the gales. So fighting for life, I flung myself ashore, and the god-sent bracing night came on at once. Clambering up from the river, big with Zeus's reins, I bedded down in the brush, my body heaped with leaves, and a god poured down a boundless sleep upon me. Yes, and there, in the leaves, exhausted, sick at heart, I slept the whole night through, and on to the break of day, and on into high noon, and the sun was wheeling down when sweet sleep set me free. And I looked up, and there were your daughter's maids at play on the beach, and she moved among them like a deathless goddess. I begged her for help. And not once did her sense of tact desert her. She behaved as you'd never hope to find in one so young, not in a random meeting. Time and again the youngsters prove so flighty. Not she. She gave me food aplenty and shining wine, a bath in the river too, and gave me all this clothing. That's my whole story. Wrenching to tell, but true.
"Ah, but in one regard, my friend," the king replied, "her good sense missed the mark, this daughter of mine. She never escorted you to our house with all her maids, but she was the first you asked for care and shelter."
"Your majesty," diplomatic Odysseus answered, "don't find fault with a flawless daughter now, not for my sake, please. She urged me herself to follow with her maids. I chose not to, fearing embarrassment, in fact. What if you took offence, seeing us both together? Suspicious we are, we men who walk the earth.
Oh no, my friend, Alcinous stated flatly, I'm hardly a man for reckless, idle anger. Balance is best in all things. Father Zeus, Athena, and Lord Apollo, if only, seeing the man you are, seeing we think as one, you could wed my daughter and be my son-in-law, and stay right here with us, I'd give you a house and great wealth, if you chose to stay, that is. No Phaeacian would hold you back by force, the curse of Father Zeus on such a thing. And about your convoy home, you rest assured. I have chosen the day, and I decree it is tomorrow. And all that voyage long you lie in a deep sleep, while my people sail you on through calm and gentle tides till you reach your land and house, or any place you please. True, even if landfall lies more distant than Euboea, off at the edge of the world. So say our crews, at least, who saw it once. That time they carried the gold-haired Rhadamanthus out to visit Titius, son of Mother Earth. Imagine! There they sailed, and back they came in the same day. They finished the homeward run with no strain at all. You'll see for yourself how far they topped the best, my ships and their young shipmates tossing up the white caps with their oars. So he vowed, and the long-enduring great Odysseus glowed with joy and raised a prayer and called the god by name, Father Zeus on high. May the king fulfill his promises, one and all. Then his fame would ring through the fertile earth and never die, and I should reach my native land at last. And now, as the two men exchanged their hopes, the white-armed queen instructed her palace maids to make a bed in the porch's shelter, lay down some heavy purple throws for the bed itself, and over it spread some blankets, thick woolly robes,